Shalom, everyone. Wow. Well, praise the Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The information, I hate to take up that time with the news, but of course it shows what's taking place in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And that's what you've got to understand. We see this taking place here today because it's just getting one more step closer to where Yahweh's kingdom is going to have to take over the world. And of course, that's why the house of Yahweh was established in these last days, because of a prophecy in Genesis 49 and several hundred others. But the obedience of the nations is actually going to be given by us to Yahshua, our high priest over the house of Yahweh, who's guiding this work, as prophecy also shows in these last days, in a deceived world, of course. Now, one of the news articles there was about the drought in Texas. Now, that almost insignificant, of course, for the world. But I want you to keep in mind, if you remember, as one of my sons just brought out, did you remember, I told you that Galilee was where the house of Yahweh was established. Of course, Samuel stayed there and ruled for years in the house of Yahweh, guiding those who would by choice accept Yahweh's laws, which there were many that did at that time. And of course, that's where Yahshua, his apostles were born and raised and started and trained for the work of Yahweh at that time period. That's the center lamp of the seven lamp lampstand, by the way. We are the east and west of that lampstand today. The sign that Yahweh puts before him for remembrance. In fact, it's sitting by the side of his throne right now, that seven lamp lampstand, and he knows that the east and west represent his last day's work on that lampstand. That's in his kingdom right now, the original one in heaven. Well, but Texas under drought, that doesn't seem to be too much, except for the fact that, if you remember, I told you that Solomon tried to give Galilee away to one of his ruling kings at that time, one of the ruling rabbis, the magistrates, and he refused it. He didn't want it. They're not going to want Texas when Yahweh gets through with it. But we want it. That's where Yahweh's work is. Now, of course, this is for a lot of new people, but it's for old people here too. That is old timers here. The scriptures, the reason they were given, of course, is to show, first off, why mankind was created, why he was placed on the earth, and that he's given an opportunity for eternal life, but not just for life, not just for eternal life. He's given a position. He can actually train for a position in the soon coming kingdom. This kingdom, as you can see, is falling. It's divided against itself. Even the Catholic Church is divided against itself. And the Catholics now are saying that the Vatican has too much power, too much authority throughout the world with the world's governments. And they're wanting the Vatican to relinquish this power, this hold that he has on the United States and, of course, throughout the world. And there's a big uprising against the Vatican now within the Catholic Church. I'll bring you the articles on that one of these days, Yahweh willing. But the inspired scriptures, Yahweh, when I say inspired, I mean Yahweh inspired these scriptures to be written by the prophets. That's the reason your Savior said in Luke 24 and verse 25, he said, "You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken." And when he said, when he repeated himself later and said, "Only believe," and of course Christianity latched onto that for more deception and said, "Well, all you got to do is just believe. You can go ahead and be as wicked as you want, break all the commandments of Yahweh, which are given to you to protect you and your children, to protect you and your health throughout all eternity, and will be used for that purpose." But Christianity latches on to it and says, "Well, Jesus did it all for you." Today, the world is so confused, they don't even know who Jesus is or where the name came from. But if they would even bother to look it up, they could find out that it came from Zeus. It was the god of war, a mighty god of war. And of course, this goes further back to Jupiter, a god that was killed before that, one of the great magi's that was a mighty ruler that killed a lot of people. You know, if you kill just one person, you're a murderer. If you kill a whole bunch of them, you know, you're a hero. Well, these mighty ones, they killed a bunch of their enemies, their so-called enemies, and became gods then. And that's the way they are today. And when one of them dies today, well, do we make him a saint? Do we declare him a saint? Well, if they declare him a saint, that means he becomes a god and can answer prayers in heaven. And they claim that he died and went to heaven. It's as many people as he killed and as wicked as he was, you know, he still died and went to heaven. Well, the Savior says, believe the prophets. That's the only way you can keep from being deceived, is to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, what occurs with the prophets? The prophets, first off, Yahweh tells you why you're here. He tells you he created you, and then he tells you why he created you, and then he offers you a place in his kingdom if you will become in his likeness and his image, which is perfect righteousness. Now, that's all taught in the first two chapters of Genesis. And then he shows two trees there, a tree of total righteousness, which the house of Yahweh represents, the tree of a mixture of righteousness and evil, which the Vatican represents, and still is. It seems like they have a little righteousness. They do give out a turkey to some poor person on Thanksgiving, don't they? They think they still do that. Well, that's a little righteousness, while they kill several other people and say, "Get out of here, get away from me, I'm holier than you, don't come around me." Well, holy to them is sodomy, of course. And that's shown in the Holy Scriptures. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. But then it's also proven in their activities. Well, how do we know then that these scriptures are inspired by a higher being? The main thing is the prophecies themselves. The prophecies are proving themselves. No human being on earth, no human being has ever lived. They don't have that power to predict the future. This being that said this, he gives you in detail the work that he is going to do. And it starts as early as Genesis, in the beginning. And he predicts a work there, actually, for the last days that we see coming to pass right now. Now, no man could do this. Think of the nuclear bomb itself, which we have the fear of right now, and we see how this ordeal that's going on now, like a bunch of stubborn, rebellious children in and around Syria, but scattered throughout the world, and the United States involved in this thing. Now, we brought out years ago, in fact, I've been bringing it out for almost 50 years now. Do you remember? I'm glad you brought that sermon. that the things that are taking place right now, in book one of my very first book that I wrote back in the 70s, I showed the colors of the mushroom cloud that Yahweh predicted that would be used in the last days to wipe out 4/5 of the earth's population. Now, we have come down to that time period, but the Holy Scriptures actually gives the color, the three colors that make that mushroom cloud for you to look at. It's there. You can see it. And I put it in the book and showed you the three colors that you lay down to get that, and Yahweh gives the three. He also gives you the fallout and gives you the color of it and said it will come down upon you from this great nuclear blast, and he calls it blasting. They didn't even have firecrackers back then. They did when I wrote the book, but they didn't have it when it was prophesied. They were thinking about inventing it. Well, now we have it. And this is something that's greatly feared. But think of this now. They're saying we're going to wipe out. We've got to wipe out all but 2 billion people. If you get down to 2 billion, you've wiped out 4/5 of the earth's population, which the scripture shows is going to be wiped out by these nuclear wars, famine, and disease epidemics. Speaking of disease epidemics, yesterday on the news, a man came from Africa where he had some kind of relations with a woman just before he left. Before he got here, he was in deep pain, really deep pain. This that he got and brought here with him came from a chimpanzee. It's a new god that's newly come up. And it's much faster than AIDS. AIDS takes from 3 to 5 years. This one takes 3 to 5 hours. That's how fast it invades the cells of your body and spreads throughout your body, causing deep pain in the body and then eventually death. Death will be a welcome sight, as Revelation shows. Yes, Revelation actually shows the sting of death that this man brought back with him. Couldn't have shown it at a better time, huh? It's called the last days. That's what prophecy shows. The bomb is going to be invented in the last days. It's going to be used in the last days. Yeshua said that's the last generation. You should read over and over and remember it. Luke 24:25. You're a fool if you don't remember and believe all that the prophets have spoken. I want you to go over to Micaiah, because Micaiah is speaking of the last days, and I'll give you the page number. I want everyone to see this scripture here, because no man could predict what I'm about to show you. No man could predict this and bring it to pass, because it was predicted over 500 years before it took place. Historians wrote about it taking place. Before that, the prophet said it would take place. Micaiah, the verse that I want to show you is found on page 705 if you have a book of Yahweh. It's called Micah in the King James Version, if you're following me with the King James Version. But Micah 3, or Micaiah 3. Remember, they changed the names. The Catholic Church, the Vatican, its writers took the name Yahweh out of the Holy Scriptures. This was predicted they would do so. It was predicted they would come against the laws, and they would get rid of the laws in the lives of the people. They did. That's in Daniel. The name, they got rid of it. Jeremiah prophesied this before he died and said they would take it out and replace it with the word Lord. No one today, you could ask 10,000 Christians, and I bet not one of them could tell you where the word Lord comes from and who you're worshiping, who the Christianity is worshiping when they worship Lord or pray to the Lord, as they prefer to call it, the Lord. Well, here in Micaiah now, 3 and verse 12, he says, "Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field." Now, if you know anything about the history that was taking place at that time, Solomon had built the temple, of course, and Jerusalem had been, Israel had been totally captured by King David, including Jerusalem. The temple was built. It was a very hustling city. Hundreds of thousands of people were going there to keep the feast. They once went to Galilee, but now they were going to this great city, Jerusalem, that had been taken over. And here's a prophecy comes out by Micaiah saying that Zion is going to be plowed like a field. That's where the temple sat. Going to be plowed like a field because of you. If you look back to verse 1, he says, "And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?" Isn't that what you're supposed to be here for? "You who hate righteousness, show me one Catholic in the world that loves righteousness." They don't even know what righteousness is. I bet you could question millions of Christians who go to church every week, and not one of them could tell you the scriptural definition of righteousness. Our children in the house of Yahweh can. Very small children. And they could quote you the scripture. Write down this scripture if you're a newcomer. Please write down this scripture. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Verse 7 says, "Teach this to your children." The states, the countries say, "Don't teach this to your children." The Pope said, "Don't teach this to your children. Don't teach the name to your children." Somehow or another, recently, the name crept back into songs in the Catholic Church, and the Vatican, I'm told, was furious. And they said, "Get it out. Get it out of here. Somehow or another, this righteousness has crept back in, and we don't want it. Yahweh is not welcome here." Well, this is what they were saying in the days of Jeremiah when they took the name out of when they translated the Holy Scriptures. That was in the 1600s. But before that, they were fighting the prophets, persecuting the prophets, as your Savior showed, because they used the name Yahweh and followed the laws of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, "This is your righteousness, if you will do this." Deuteronomy 6:25. "This is your righteousness." 1 John, found just before, in your King James Version, found just before the book of Revelations, and Jude, as the King James Version calls it, which was Yada, and John's name was Yochanan, using it, he had the name Yahweh in his name too, but they changed that. They took the name out of the prophet's names. Isaiah has the name Yahweh in it. It doesn't in the King James Version. Jeremiah had the name Yahweh in his name, but it doesn't in the King James Version. Why? They admit they took it out. They admit they took it out of the apostles' names too. And they took the Savior's name out and Yahweh's name out. The Savior's name was Yahshua, meaning Yahweh will save his people from their sins. He's going to. In fact, it's prophesied he will. And it comes as early as Genesis, showing that eventually these tribes are going to be turning to Yahweh totally. Yes. This thing that is taking place now is a proving ground, showing both heaven and earth, Yahweh's plan, how he intends to bring it about, what brought this sickness and disease into the heavens in the first place, and how that mankind, the Son of Man, is going to be given the power and authority to actually solve all these problems here on earth, but throughout the heavens also. The works of Yahweh's fingers, all the works that Yahweh's fingers have made, is going to be turned over to the sons of men. Yes, praise Yahweh. Well, here we see that they're not following Yahweh at this time, in the time of Micaiah. He says in verse 5, "This is what Yahweh says concerning the prophets who cause my people to err." Well, this is not the prophets of Yahweh. This is the prophets of the Lord. As Jeremiah said, they prophesy in the name of the Lord. Well, who is the Lord? And who was the Lord at that time? We'll see in just a moment. "But they cause them to go astray, who proclaim peace to those who give them something to chew on, who prepare war against those who put nothing in their mouths." Now, you see this same pattern set up, of course, under the great school of Nimrod, the Nimrod school, meaning they rebelled or he rebelled. That's what the word Nimrod means. Now, verse 6 says, "Night will come over you. You will not have a vision. Darkness will cover you without divination. The sun will go down for those prophets, and the day will be dark for them." In other words, they won't know what is taking place. It will be hidden from them. As Daniel said, none of the wicked are going to understand. Now, he says that in chapter 12 of the prophet Daniel. Chapter 12, if you want to write it down. He says, none of the wicked will understand. Darkness has totally covered the earth. That is, understanding is taken away. The books were sealed. But in the last days, something else is going to take place. And Yahweh says, then you will be fully aware of what is going to take place in the last days. Jeremiah made that prophecy in Jeremiah 23. Go to verse 9, Micaiah 3, verse 9. "Hear now, O heads of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert equity, who build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity." Now notice this is talking about Jerusalem here. That's where Jerusalem sat, was on Mount Zion, and the temple sat on Mount Zion. "Her heads judge for reward, and her priests," not the priest of Yahweh or the teachers of Yahweh, these fought against Micaiah. They fought against all the prophets. "The priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean upon Yahweh and say, is not Yahweh among us? No evil will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field, Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh," yes, the house of Yahweh, that Solomon, the temple, they started calling it later the temple, but that building that Solomon built, we actually have proof, and we put it out in publications. Archaeology has uncovered these proofs, some that date back to the days of Solomon, a receipt for tithe that was given from the house of Yahweh, the one that Solomon built. Well, the house of Yahweh on Mount Zion had been taken over by the priest of the Lord. If you remember, Solomon in his old age allowed some of this to take place. The Lord built many churches there. Yes, Christianity was practiced there long before the death of Yahshua. It's not anything to worship the Savior. There's nothing in Christianity that worships the Savior. Christmas is about to take place very soon. Now, isn't that worship of the Savior? No. If you'll look in any encyclopedia, it will tell you December the 25th is the birthday of the pagan sun god. And that's the reason December 25th was taken. The Savior wasn't born near that time. In fact, the scripture shows you that the spring lambs were still out in the field when he was born. He couldn't have been born anywhere near December 25th, it's shown in the Holy Scriptures. But if he had been born on December 25th and said, and Yahweh said, keep this as a memorial, the Catholic Church would have fought it. He does have a memorial given by Yahweh long about Passover. And he says, you will do this forever throughout your generations. They reject that worship. And they teach for doctrine traditions of men. Traditions. The Easter goddess? The goddess of fertility, lust, and sex that's causing all the trouble, including the one we just had that came from Africa, where it's uncontrolled lust that has filled the world. Where did it come from? From the Vatican. That's what the prophet Jeremiah said. They spread this sodomy, but also full lust, saying, no, you can't restrain your children from this. Let them go. Do what they want to do. At an age when they need guidance the most, they say, no, you can't do it. Turn them loose. They can't get married, but they can go out and have whatever they want. This came forth from the Vatican, from the schools of America. It first started in Genesis 10, called Nimrod. Nimrod, meaning they rebelled, or he rebelled. And they started creating schools of higher learning, which created democracy, which is supposed to set people free from sin. Instead of that, it turns them loose and says, go sin. Do whatever is consentable between two adults. This is what's coming forth from the Vatican. It's also coming forth from all the schools. If I ever get to it, I'll show you how the Vatican has taken over all the education in the world. Before Egypt lost its king, they had men to take the king's place. Before the same thing occurred in Libya. Of course, the people are suffering now more than they did under the king. In fact, they weren't even suffering under the king. It looked to me like they were well-fed and clothing from what I saw on television. None of them were going hungry like they are here in America. They said, they pranced around saying, we want democracy. Who told them to do that? Where were they taught this? What are they saying in New York, where they have democracy? What are they saying in California, where they're doing the same thing? The shanty towns. I know you haven't heard it. They've been keeping them secret. But there's thousands of them now opening up throughout the United States. That is gathering people in tents. In California, they have a security. They've established their own security now in the shanty towns because there's so many of them. Thousands and thousands of them now who have lost their homes and they're just trying to survive. Think of this very soon. Your water goes down one day and you think, what a horrible thing. And you're sitting cursing your city officials because you can't get any water out of your pipes. You can't turn the faucet on, nothing comes out, maybe a drip. Very soon now, you're going to experience nuclear war. When the nuclear war hits, you won't have any water coming through your pipes. You won't have any electricity running through your light bulbs. You won't have any gas coming through your gas lines. You can't cook. You can't get water. Now, you're living in a city. What are you going to do? Imagine what is going to take place now. And this is not going to be for just a short time. Once these things go down, it's going to take quite a while to ever get them to operating again. Imagine doing without your utilities for one day. We'll go to the grocery store and get something to eat. No, they won't sell you anything. Their computers are down too. In fact, they'll have guards set up to shoot you if you try to get something. You remember what took place in Louisiana when they had the flood and the people tried to cross the bridge to get to where there was water and the police shot them down? You can see what the Savior said, that the love has grown cold. Matithya, or Matthew, if you have a King James Version, the Savior is speaking of this very time period where there's going to be nuclear war. And he said, because of all of this deception, this is about verse 11, he said, iniquity is going to increase. It has. In fact, sickness has filled the world because of the iniquity that has increased. He names sickness and disease in verse 7 of that chapter. It's talking about the end of the age, as is shown in verse 3 of that chapter. The last generation of man's governments in chapter 34. All of that the Savior gives to you in advance. And he said, now remember that I told you these things before they took place. And it's written for us today. Remember, I told you before it took place what was going to take place. How many people do you think is getting prepared for this? Our governments are getting prepared. Even the bases now have put in solar. They're going to get a great surprise too. Their solars are not going to work for long, and it will be spotted. So what are they going to do then? You better be thinking about these things that I've told you, because they are coming to pass. Zion was plowed like a field. Let me read you the history of it here. Zion was plowed like a field. Thus did the Romans thus treat Jerusalem when it was taken by Titus. Titus is the one, the Vatican's army, that led the Vatican's army. He's the one that moved all the priests, all these evil priests from the temple, the so-called temple. They moved to the Vatican. Titus, and I know that this is going to surprise a lot of people, but Titus, before he destroyed that temple, he took all the artifacts to Rome. This is plain in history. I wonder why nobody knows this history except the house of Yahweh. And we've put print after print of this history out for everyone, brought it out to the world. A lot of them are finding out about it now because of the house of Yahweh, but this is a matter of history. He removed all of these artifacts from the temple to Rome before he destroyed the temple. Before he did that, Daniel prophesied these three religions, he said, called horns. These three horns are going to be uprooted from Jerusalem. Because of you, I'm going to plow Zion like a field. going to send you to another place. And that's exactly what took place. They were uprooted and replanted in the seven hills of Rome, which is spoken of in the last part of Revelations, Revelation 17 and 18, showing the end of this mess that started with the 12 tribes. Yes, those people, the Vatican, the Catholics, they actually traced their roots back to the Aaronic priesthood. Not that of Moshe, but the ones who rebelled against Moshe and rebelled against Samuel. They rebelled against all the prophets. Yeshua, the Savior, didn't rebel against the prophets. He said you need to follow what the prophets have spoken if you want eternal life. I'm going to lay that down. Hold your place in Micaiah. Turn over to Matithiah, or Matthew, if you have a King James Version. If you don't, write this scripture down. The Savior said, if you want eternal life, if you have a King James Version, a red letter, you'll see it's the Savior doing the speaking. His name was not Zeus, it was Yahshua, as given by the prophets. The prophets actually gives the name of the Savior. The Vatican in the catechisms of the Catholic Church showed that they replaced the Savior's name. In fact, Constantine was the one that chose the name of the Savior, which he chose two gods' names, two different gods' names, and said, this is the God you're all going to worship. And if you don't worship, I'm going to cut your head off. And he killed millions of people in bringing this enforcement about and getting the Lord's established. But he did it. Prophecy said he would. Well, here the Savior now in chapter 19 and verse 16. This person comes to him and says, behold, one came to him and said, teacher. And they put Lord there in that place, by the way. He's asking the Lord. No, Yeshua wasn't a Lord. In fact, if you picked up an Unger's Bible Dictionary and looked at it, look up the word Lord, it says it's not a divine title and should have never been used to replace the Creator's name, which means they use the word Lord to replace the Creator's name. Unger's Bible Dictionary or any Bible dictionary will tell you the same thing. A teacher, what righteous thing may I do so that I may have eternal life? But he said to him, why do you question me about righteousness? There is only one is the standard of perfection. That's Yahweh. That's what the prophets wrote. His laws are the standard of perfection. They also prophesied that the two witnesses would bring this forth in their last days, and they would be hated by all nations worse than any two men on earth. And that has taken place. We proved it. It was proven in their own courts. Is the standard of perfection. Yahweh is the standard of perfection. His way, he was saying, his way, Yahweh's way is the standard of perfection. You can't beat the laws of Yahweh. No way. If the people would just abide by the laws that say, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't commit bestiality. That's not one of the ten, but it's one of the laws. Don't commit sodomy. Yes, that's one of Yahweh's laws too. Leviticus 18 gives you those laws. If they'd just abide by those, they could cut out 99% of the sickness in the world. 99%. Did you know science is proving that now, that it actually is coming from that direction? I told them to look there 40 years ago. And they would find the cause of these diseases. Well, now they're saying, yes, this is the cause of it. They're actually creating these things in their own bodies that's coming back to kill them by doing these things to each other. And the Savior said, notice his words, Yahweh is the standard of perfection. So if you would enter into life, keep his laws or keep his commandments. He even names a bunch of them there in verse 18. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Verse 19, love your father, love your brother, and so forth. Keep the commandments if you want life. That's the Savior's words. The Vatican says, no, don't keep the commandments. Don't keep the commandments at all. You see any of the popes saying, let's keep the seventh-day Sabbath? That's one of the commandments. They say, no, let's keep Sunday in honor of the sun god, whose birthday we'll celebrate on December the 25th. It all comes together when you know just a little bit about these things. All you got to do is a little reading to find these out. We'll give it to you in abundance from the house of Yahweh. As fast as you can read, we'll supply the ammunition for you. Well, because of you now, go back to Micaiah, because you have turned from Yahweh's laws, he says, I'm going to destroy the temple here. It'll be plowed. The land will be plowed like a field. And they won't even know that this ever stood there. So the historian says, thus did the Romans treat Jerusalem when it was taken by Titus. Titus is the one. Just look up the name Titus. It'll tell you what he did. He actually took the artifacts from the temple to the Vatican. Called Ternus Rufus, or as he is called by St. Jerome, Titus Arentus Rufus, or Terentus Rufus, according to Josephus. Josephus is another historian. Caused a plow to be drawn over all the courts of the temple to signify that it should never be rebuilt, and the place only serve as agriculture process. Thus Jerusalem became heaps and indiscriminate mass of ruins and rubbish, and the mountain of the house. The mountain of the house, Mount Moriah, as was changed to Mount Zion, on which the temple stood, became so much neglected after the total destruction of the temple that it soon resembled the high places of the forest. That's the prophecy that he gives you here. The house, back in Micaiah now, Jerusalem will become a heaps of rubble. History says it did. The mountain of the house of Yahweh, like the high places of a forest. Barren, nothing there. Now, in that same prophecy, the same man here that gave this prophecy, that came to pass in detail in 70 CE, after, of course, the apostles were dead, except for one, Yochanan, he lived on and wrote us the book of Revelations, or copied the book of Revelations that was given to him. Look now to chapter 4 there. Now, he's taken away this, taken it, destroyed it, let it be destroyed. There's a prophecy before this, if you'll hold your place right there, and go back to Isaiah 43. And he said the same thing that David Hawkins said today in verse 26. In Isaiah 43, verse 26, he said, call me to remembrance. Call me with my name. Catholic Church says don't use the name. The rabbis before that said don't use the name. Let us judge for or against as one in unity. Write and proclaim these things to come. Write and proclaim these things to come. This is prophecy that he's going to give you. For the express purpose that you may be turned to righteousness. Now in verse 27, your first fathers sinned, and your interpreters, yes, they became interpreters, writing the Babylonian Talmud, which was interpretations of thousands of rabbis, your interpreters broke my covenant, turned away from me in prayer, turned away from Yahweh. Who did they turn to? Jeremiah 23, verse 27 said they turned to the Lord. The Lords, they started worshiping Lords. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. This was the priesthood set up in Jerusalem by Solomon when he built the temple. He moved the house of Yahweh from the hills, the Galilean hills, to Jerusalem. He said, from now on, you will keep the feast at this place. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproach it. Dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Now go back to Micaiah here because that's exactly what took place. Because of their sins, Micaiah said the same thing. And Zion is going to be plowed like a field, he said. Now in that very same man that predicted this, that came true in detail, he said in chapter 4, verse 1, but in the last days, the Savior spoke of the last days as a time when the sun is going to be darkened by nuclear war. They didn't have bombs in the days of Micaiah, but he called it the last days. The Savior called it in Matthew 24, if you have a King James Version, Matthew 24, he called it the last generation. The last generation of man's governments. They're going to destroy themselves, and then what is left is going to turn to Yahweh. And there will be war no more. Now what? Look at this. This very same man that predicted this great prophecy of Zion, that came to pass in detail. He said, but in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain, that word mountain means uplifting or promotion. The promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established. It will be established in the chief of the nations. It's going to be established in the chief of the nations. The word established means recognized and supported by the government of that nation. The house of Yahweh is a duly established organization in the chief of the nations. And they're bragging about it, and right now as being the chief nation of all nations. It was established in 1982. In the chief of the nations. Now, this was according to prophecy. It will be raised above all congregations. Why? Because all congregations have turned to sin. They turned against Yahweh. Yahweh's way is the top. We are bringing forth now this perfection of Yahweh. This time it won't be destroyed. Yahweh allowed it to be destroyed All five times before the two witnesses. All of those five lamps that Yahweh had predicted were destroyed. The people wiped out. Not their work. The foundation still stands, and that's the writings of the prophets and apostles. And now in the last days, he says, I'm going to establish my house in the chief of the nations, and it will be raised above all the congregations. Well, of course, we know that all the congregations is Revelation 12, verse 9 shows, are deceived. Deceived by Satan. Now, if you'll write down 1 John 3, verse 4 through 8, you will see that sin is the breaking of the laws. And then in verse 7, it says, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. I just told you in Deuteronomy, 6:25, he said, this is your righteousness if you will do it. The apostles didn't do away with the laws of Yahweh. The prophets didn't do away with them. Only the beastly system that is called, which is the Catholic Church, they did away with them. As prophecy showed they would. The three religions, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, rabbis, as they are known, they did away with the religion of Yahweh. So Yahweh is going to raise his house. It will be above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain, that's the promotion of Yahweh, and to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we will then walk in his paths, because the law will depart from Zion. Yes, Zion's going to be plowed like a field. Hold your place right there and turn over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. If you're writing it down, write down 21 verse 43. Matthew 21 and verse 43. They'll flow to the house of Yahweh, because that's where the laws are taught. Look at the Savior's speaking now in Matthew 21 verse 43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you. He shows before this, as the prophets did, that they have turned to sin. They've turned to sin. They wouldn't keep Yahweh's laws. So Yahweh says, therefore, Yahshua says, therefore, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land. The prophet said, the end of the earth. The end of the earth. Well, of course, America is the end. That was the last land established, and Oklahoma was the end, the last land ever to be established of the whole earth. The end of the earth. Back to Micaiah now, in verse 2, last part, because it's going to depart. The law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And Yahweh will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. That is, he will bring them to his house. Now, that's a prophecy. Remember now, this prophecy Micaiah gave in 710 years before the Savior was born. 710 years. It didn't come to pass until 70 CE, about somewhere around 40 years after the Savior was dead. But it came to pass. Now he gives the one for the last days, and lo and behold, his house was established by two brothers who Yahweh calls witnesses and gives their names. You know, anyone can say they're the witnesses. I've known several that said that. You know, Dick and Jane could call themselves the witnesses. Herbert and Ted did. Dick and Ted did. Kermit, the frog, you know, he could call himself Kermit the frog. He could call himself the witness. Or he could say, well, I named myself Israel Hawkins. Well, at least he knew what one of the witnesses would be named. But then he turned around and said, well, if Israel Hawkins is a witness, is the witness, who's the other witness? Now, that's the same Kermit the Frog. But that's his question. So it proves he didn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. The Kermit the Frog is so stupid, he doesn't know anything about what the Scripture said. If he'd have read the Holy Scriptures at all or sat and listened to the sermons, he would know that one of the, hold your place, go back to Isaiah 43, he would have known this. Why wouldn't he have known that one of the witnesses was going to be put to death? That left only one light on the seven lampstand burning. After that witness did the work prophesied of him coming back from the east after 7 years trying to get Israel to repent. He comes back and Yahweh allows him to die. It's given. I just read it in Isaiah 43, verse 28. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Well, who is he talking about here? Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Now, look at verse 44. If you just had the Hebrew, you wouldn't see chapters divided. There would be none there. It's still the same subject. Yet now hear, O Jacob, and my servant. So this Jacob, he's given to a curse. He's saying he's a servant of Yahweh. Jacob, my servant. And here he says he's going to allow Jacob to be given to the curse. That's one of his servants he's going to give to the curse. That curse means death. If you want to look it up in Strong's Concordance, it means death. But here he's saying, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb. From the womb, will Kermit the frog, you got to have a brother somewhere here because this is coming from the same womb. Not an egg. I think the frogs came from eggs. I think they did. Maybe not. I'm not even sure. Go check that one out. Formed you from the womb. Who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. You're going to die, yes, but don't be afraid. You're going to do a work before you die. And Yisroel, that means beloved Yisroel, whom I have appointed. So he's appointed Yisroel up here, 43 verse 28, to reproaches, which Yisroel has suffered many reproaches. I don't think Kermit the Frog could endure the reproaches that Yisroel had to suffer. Now, verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed. Your seed are those who believe all that the prophets have spoken, believe the Savior, and become a part of, a member of the house of Yahweh. Remember, he says in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, seek the habitation of Yahweh. The Savior said the same thing in Matthew 6, 33. Write it down. Matthew 6, 33. Seek it first, he said, the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom is what was taken from Israel, from the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and given to the seven hills of Rome, where they've never, ever stood up for Yahweh's laws again, or his name. They fight against it everywhere, kill people. They even kill people for owning Bibles. They killed them for not eating pork. Pork was a test to them, as is shown in Isaiah 65 that they did. These same rabbis did. My spirit will be upon your seed. Yes, if you become a seed, that is, one of my sons or daughters, the spirit of Yahweh, the same spirit that is upon Yeshua, Yahweh, myself, will be upon you. And my blessings upon your offspring, they will spring up among the grass as willows by the water's courses. One will say, now here's how they get their names, Kermit the Frog. This cartoon is really going to make it great. I know it is. And I already see it in my mind. And the Kermit the Frog is going to be on our ads teaching here very soon. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. Here's how you'd have to get your name if you were one of the witnesses. All of these things, there's hundreds of scriptures that show how Yisroel gets his name, how Jacob gets his name. One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself by the name of Jacob. There's several people in this congregation right now that was here when, after my brother died, my sister-in-law, Luetta, came here on the Sabbath day for services, and we went to a house not too far from here after services, and she told us how Jacob, this Hebrew word, means he took this name under duress. He was forced. And all Jacob told me before he died was that he had to change his name because his name was J.G., and they would not accept an initial name in Israel. Well, Super Travel booked the tickets for my brother and his family to go to Israel. And they were in no hurry and wanted to work their way through. Joe, the woman that worked at Super Travel, was the one that booked the ticket. She may be still there, I don't know. But they went through Germany, and it was a leisure trip. They saw some people there that was on their mailing list because he is putting out the prophetic watchman before he left here. But as we were sitting in the living room of this house, Luetta asked me, he said, did Jacob ever tell you how he took that name and why he took it? And I said, no, he just told me that they wouldn't accept it, an initial name in Israel. She said, and we have several women who were there with her that day and witnessed this. They're still present here today. Wave your hands. Pick up your hand and wave it. Praise Yahweh. She said, we were about to get kicked off of the train. We were approaching Israel on the train from Germany. The inspector was an Israeli that come by to see who all was going into Israel. And he said, the man said, I've got to have a name. I can't accept two letters as a name. Well, he said, that's it. That is my name. He says, I'll be back in a little while. So apparently he contacted his officials. He comes back and he says, you can't go into Israel without a name. And Jacob said, his name was J.G. He said, well, could you just call me Jacob or Jacob? He said, Jacob. And giving the English name. And he said, that will be fine, and he put it down. Now, under duress, this man, just as the Hebrew word shows, Kermit the Frog, had to be under duress to take this. But the other one, notice, gets his name in another way. The other one, now this was Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. But if you look on over to verse 4 of chapter 45, see, all of these are prophecies of the two witnesses. Revelation 11 is a prophecy of the two witnesses, yes. But even in Revelation 11 says, these are the two olive trees. Well, who are the olive trees? And it says these are the two lamps on the lampstand. All of these prophecies fit the two witnesses, the two brothers, but they don't fit Kermit the Frog or Dick and Jane or anyone else, any false witness. They just won't fit. Look to 45 and verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Yisrael, my chosen to do a work. One of the witnesses here is chosen, anointed, as another prophecy said. And he says, and I called you by your name, Jacob, and surname you, Yisrael. So Yahweh himself did this. And notice, but you did not recognize that it was me that was putting this stuff, brought this all to pass? Was going to kick you off of the train? This was Yahweh's doing, brethren. Do you remember Moshe? This was Yahweh's doing that his mother put him in a basket and put him in a river and have him found. Yahweh worked that out before he invented mankind to be his servants. He worked it out before the earth was invented, before the Nile River was ever formed. This is Yahweh, the great mind of Yahweh that can foretell prophecy. Well, back here now to Micaiah, and we just read where he's establishing his house. Isaiah 2:1-4 says the same thing. Verse 1 shows why. And then let's go to Yochanan now. Let's go back to Yochanan 4 and verse 20. It's found on page 818, Yochanan or John, if you have a King James Version. 4 and verse 20, he says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Now, this was talking about the mountains of Galilee. That's where Yeshua was raised and the apostles were raised. But Solomon said, we're going to worship in Jerusalem from now on. He built the house. And we says, move it all to Jerusalem. Now, this woman says to Yeshua, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But the Yadim say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeshua said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He was referring to this prophecy. It's going to be plowed like a field. The house of Yahweh is going to be moved to another location. Now, the word rabbi and the word Lord, I've got to show you this quickly. We're running out of time, just about. I still got a few minutes here. Rabbi, the word rabbi, if you picture up a Unger's Bible Dictionary, any dictionary will show you this, but this is Unger's Bible Dictionary, and look up the word rabbi. It means teacher. A respectful term applied by the Jews to their teachers and spiritual instructors. He says the term rabbi or rabbin both mean simply master. Now, in any dictionary, it will tell you the word master or Lord, they both mean the same thing, is not divine. They say not divine and should never have been used to replace the Creator's name. Unger says the same thing. It says Jewish schools had three grades of honor. Rab, that's master, that's the lowest honor they gave to their teachers or popes. They became called popes later. Rabbi, the first one was Rab, meaning master. That was the lowest degree. Rabbi, my master, that is the second degree. Rabbini means my Lord or the Lord. When they died, then, they were esteemed more higher, and memorials were kept to them, as we see in Isaiah 65. This was going on in Isaiah 65, keeping memorials to the dead, eating swine's flesh, and the abominable broth was in their vessels. Isaiah 65, if you want to write that down. They were thought to be gods and could answer prayers. Rab Mag. That is spelled Rab-Mag. It means chief magician or chief priest. You see chief priest throughout the book of Acts where they were persecuting the apostles. Reb Mag. It's not maggot, but kind of makes you want to create some, maybe. The title is ascribed in Jeremiah 39. You can be turning there if you want to, but listen to the rest of this. It says to Nergal Sarsar's. That's spelled Nergal Sarsar. Which title he and certain other important persons bears in the Babylonian inscriptions. That's where they find this, in the Babylonian inscriptions. They also found it in the book of Yahweh. You can too. The NIV translates it high official. And of course, this has thrown a lot of people off. If you turn now, if you hope you've found it, and I will try to turn quickly to Jeremiah 39, and I want to show you this before we quit. Now, this was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah 39, found on page 607, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Yada, in the tenth moon, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, moved against Jerusalem with all his army and placed it under siege. Well, what was taking place here? If you read the history, you'll find out that some of the Jews were rebelling. They called them Jews, and I'm just telling you what they call them. They were actually what was taking place here. There were people from Galilee there that was telling the people they need to keep the laws of Yahweh. And the people were growing. That number was growing. So Nebuchadnezzar, they were having trouble, and they were having fighting, and the kings were complaining, and the people were complaining. So Nebuchadnezzar moved against Jerusalem to take it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth moon, on the ninth day of the moon, the city wall was broken through, and all the officials of the king of Babylon, do you get that? All the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer, ruler of Semgar, Nebal-Sharshechem. Now get this word here. Notice it closely. It starts with the word Reb. Reb-Sharas, chief officer. Chief officer. These are the rabbis. This is what they were called before they separated themselves. When they separated themselves in Jerusalem, they were called Pharisees, which means separatists. Sadducees, which meant they were sad, you see. They were sad because the Pharisees had more power than they and the Essenes. Constantine straightened all this out because they were still fighting today. Constantine says, I'm going to give you a god to worship, and you're going to worship that god, or I'm going to kill you. And you're going to stop fighting over all these gods that you're worshiping. Because as the apostle said, some said, this one is a greater god than this one. This was what one of the apostles was teaching. Well, notice now, Rabsharas, chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, the Reb Mag, you see that? Reb Mag, this word means troop. Now, we put that there because that's exactly what it means. It means troop. And the various other officials of the king of Babylon, or kings of Babylon, these were the rabbis or the higher their higher rabbis of the bunch. I want you to hold your place there. Go back to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, and remember what you're reading there now in Urimia. When they rejected Yahweh's laws, they started fighting among the tribes, started fighting each other. If you know anything about the history that took place of the 12 tribes, they started fighting one another. And it was just a continual war back and forth. Nebuchadnezzar was in charge, so he goes down to settle the matter. And here's where you see all of these rabbis and rulers that had been set here. Maybe it was one of these rulers, like one of these rulers that Solomon gave Galilee. And he gave it back to him, said, I don't want it. Because the Galileans did not want to go to their schools. They were like the American Indians. They didn't want to go to schools that the Catholic Church created. Well, the Catholic Church were known as rabbis at that time. They were known as elders before that. And then they became separated and known as this one is higher than this one. This is what Yeshua said. The rulers rule over the people. But you can't be a ruler, he said. The kingdom of Yahweh is not like this. Well, he was talking about these people who had set themselves up. This ruler's over this one, and this one's over this one. And the greater rulers rule over these, which was, had to send the army in to show them who was the greatest ruler and said, quieten this down, or I'll get rid of the whole bunch. Well, that's what you see taking place in Egypt today. The same thing. Well, here in Genesis 49 now, Genesis 49, verse 1, Jacob says, come to me, come gather around me, I'm going to show you what will take place in the last days. Got that? Last day. Then he starts naming the tribes. In verse 10 and 11, he shows a prophecy about the two witnesses, about Yeshua the Savior, about the last day's work. Last day. This is for the last day. In verse 19, remember what this word means, this word, Rab Mag, it means troop, and that's what we put at the side of it there. Verse 19, look at it, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he will overcome at last. Remember Revelations 12:9, has the whole world deceived? The apostles continually fought against these people for their worship of demons. Worship of demons. A troop will overcome you, but in the last days when the house of Yahweh is set up, that's when you're finally going to overcome at last. Got that? Because the house of Yahweh will bring Yahweh's perfection to all nations. That's our job, brethren. This is going to take place. Be turning over to Mark now. Mark 5. Hold your place there in Urimia. Go to Mark 5. Now, it's translated different here, but this is what these gods that people think are men, and they think they're getting answers to prayers. The demons Yeshua showed can enter when they want to, and they can do certain things. They have the power to do certain things. And when people are praying to the Lord, they're actually praying to a troop or these dead rabbis, because the demons are most anxious to oblige them in many cases. And many people throw their hearts out in churches and praying to the Lord, and this is when demons actually enter the people. Well, here in Mark, where the Savior now comes to a place, and then he asked this demon-possessed man, then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, verse 9, my name is Legion, for we are many. These he's talking to is demons. We are many. We're a troop. We're a troop. Many. That means troop or many. And this is what Yeremia is talking about the rabbis and how they could, they were also classified as magicians because they had demons doing things for them to put on a show to deceive people. Now, if you go over to Matthew 24, we see the same thing going to take place, and it's actually taking place in many cases right now, in many churches and in many organizations throughout the world, big time. But the Savior says here in Matthew 24, now remember, the word rabbi, it means Lord. They took the name Yahweh out and replaced it with word Lord. So the people don't even know who they're praying to. Revelation 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. And this is what you see taking place throughout the world. In Matthew 22, I mean 24, in verse 22, now he's showing the great tribulation here and what is going to take place, and he shows the two witnesses here in verse 14 going to take the message of Yahweh by the witness to all the world. And then in verse 22, he says, verse 21, he says, and then will be great tribulation such as has never come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever will be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Look at verse 24. And there will arise false messiahs, false prophets, to deceive, of course, and will show great signs and wonders. This is going to increase in this time period according to what the Savior is showing you here. And it has already started increasing. If you remember the woman that prayed to the last dead pope, laid her hand on the coffin and claimed she was healed. You know, this could have been an experience from a demon that was waiting to fulfill this command. Of course, the demon couldn't heal her, and she wasn't healed of this Parkinson's disease, but she thought she was. But great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Well, how can you keep from being deceived? The Savior gave it to you in Luke 24, verse 25. Believe what the prophets have spoken. He tells you where his house is. He shows you how the witnesses are going to get their names. He shows you where the house will be established. He shows you how everything is laid out and planned out and what is going to take place. Yes, we're taking this message to all the world. The first time it's ever been taken to all the world in the history of mankind, the first time, and now it's going to all the world, established in the chief nation of all nations. We're doing our job. We're doing this with exactly what the Savior said we would, and we're guided. Actually, Zechariah shows that Yeshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10 shows the same thing, that the Savior is high priest over this house of Yahweh in these last days. And soon you will see all nations, what is left of the nations. But first you're going to see a depopulation take place. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry I had to go overtime.